You're listening to Subsound Radio. We bring you streaming and live broadcasting from the capital. This is the El Arpa Podcast.
Hello and welcome to a new edition of El Arpa Podcast.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
Okay, so this is Enda Maria back again for the latest episode, as you said, of the El Arpa Podcast. What are we talking about today?
Well, this week, of course, we have to talk about St. Patrick's Day.
It is today. It's really extends to the whole weekend because it's a festivity that people will be celebrating on Friday and Saturday and possibly even Sunday. And even maybe a cheeky point on the Monday as well, just to finish off the long weekend of Irish celebration. But yes, St. Patrick's Day. Oh, tora lora la. Ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta.
So, okay, there's been a lot of dancing, a lot of singing from Enda prior to the podcast. And we're hoping he will sing something else later on.
Well,
in
you
the
know,
lightest with his angel's voice.
The music interlude will be provided by me.
Wonderful.
Instead of a normal thing. So Danny Boy. I'm going to attempt that at a later date. And Maria will be playing violins while also playing the spoons off her knees and the fiddle.
Yes.
And she'll be playing, there'll be a row of Guinness glasses that are full to certain extents, and you'll be playing music with your hand over the rim of the glass, creating different sounds, I believe. Is that is correct, isn't it?
That's fairly accurate.
Okay, because
yes,
if that
yes.
doesn't happen, our listener. Singular will be disappointed by that. Okay.
Yeah. Well, we'll post pictures later on.
Okay.
On the website.
Perfect. Okay. Yes. Because where were we? We were in Calle de las Irlandeses, no, the Street of the Irish, which is a kip, an absolute heap of a place. Horrible. Yeah, I think I'll go with that. It's a little bit of a slum-like, dark, dingy alleyway that possibly is where drug dealers hang out. Not an exaggeration, is it? I mean,
not really. It was pretty much like that.
I quite like it though, because Ireland, I think in general, has a rough charm, and Irish people have a rough charm, and the great and the good of our country have always had a rough charm.
Plus, there was nice ivy like growing on top of the sign.
Exactly.
So that's
yeah.
Kind of
so
like
there's a little bit
charming.
Of well, the whole cliche about being Irish is that you know you're not Irish unless you understand the world's going to break your heart. So we had this kind of bipolar Celtic. Soul that's up and down, you know. So you know,
I think the street reflects that.
I think
well.
Yeah, it does. It's a shithole, and it has ivy growing over it. So
you're allowed to say that.
Well, you know, we don't have standards authority here or a censor, so who gives a fuck? So it's St. Patrick's Day. I have a carte blanche.
Oh, okay, well,
to
well,
say
well,
whatever
well,
I want.
Okay.
Fine. Okay, so we're going to come back after this musical interlude break, which will be me singing Danny Boy. Remixed with Fatboy Slim, Praise You, with a little bit of gospel choir from Alabama as well. And if you don't know what that sounds like, strap in and kick up your feet. Welcome back to part two of the show.
Do you enjoy the singing?
Well, if you didn't hear it, it's just adjust your radio sets and your computers. It's probably a fault on
it
your
was
end.
There.
It was definitely we definitely did it. So I think this is the most bullshit we've ever spoken at the start of a podcast. So that reflects, I think, the St. Patrick's Day festivities. But we're gonna have a conversation now, aren't we? What are we focusing on?
Well, I'm actually interviewing you.
Well, we'll have a chit chat, I think.
No, I'll interview you.
No, it gives you
questions, answers.
No, that gives you a position of power that I'm not comfortable with. Kind of destabilizes
well,
the dynamic. So, okay, we'll start off then. What's the first thing you want to ask me about this whole Irish thing?
Okay, well, we're interested. I mean, our listeners want to know.
Our listener is interested,
yes. Yes. Yeah. Our listener is interested in knowing about your Ireland. You know, the things that make you think of Ireland when you're in Madrid. You've been here for a while and...
Yeah, I've been here for 4 years. It's a very big, big question. So,
yeah,
we're going to start little by little, as I say in Spanish, poco a poco, and we'll tease out the issue. But, you know, a lot of different things make me feel Irish. I'll start with something simple, an Irish bar, because I think I try to avoid them as much as possible, and I hate them, really, if I'm being honest, because a lot of them don't represent our culture or misrepresented. And they're ruined by stag parties and louts who are watching football matches, you know. And very often they're very plastic. But I remember I had a local Irish bar in the centre of Madrid that I used to always go to. In my first year here, I thought, this is incredible. This is a place that I can frequent and kind of be Irish, which was a novelty. But then I changed my bar, and now I go to James Joyce Bar in near Cibeles on Calle Alcalá, which is on the site of a former writer's hangout, like an old cafe back in the day. And it's a wonderful place. I think it is owned by an Irish man that I know, who's a very nice, very accommodating man. The staff in there are very friendly as well. And I think it's a very authentic Irish bar. And I think, you know, it really is a piece of home, because I believe that the Irish embassy sometimes have events there. The Irish-Spanish Business Association, they have events there as well. You can learn Irish there on occasion. So I think they have something for everybody. I mean, they have line dancing and other things that are not Irish, but you know, it's a mixed bag. But I think it is a true representation of what Ireland is, or it's a place where you can feel at home. And it's the only bar in the city that shows GAA matches. Now, I'm not a GAA fan, which is a Gaelic Athletic Association, Irish sports, Gaelic football and hurling, but you know, when I'm abroad, I become more nationalistic, so I adopt them. And in the bar, they have the flags of the different counties, 32 counties that contest that. And you know, people aren't going to be familiar with the Irish sports per se, and also against the different flags of the different regions in Ireland. So you can learn something there while you're there. And also as well, one of the reasons I stopped going to the first Irish bar was because one night England were playing a friendly, and Ireland were playing a competitive match, and they showed the friendly, which I was just like, look, I know it's for money, I know it's for tourists, but come on, like, lads. So I went to the James Joyce and said, because they were showing the Irish match, and I think that's important, because, you know, no matter what your position is, I think you do need a place that feels like a little bit like home. And
would you say it's like a meeting point for the Irish community in Madrid?
I wouldn't say that in particular. I think a lot of different people go there, like a lot of tourists, Americans, you know, British people on football tours kind of congregate there as well.
Well, it's in an area that is very
touristy, yeah. So. But, you know, I mean, from the Irish people that I know, some, you know, half of them, and by half I mean one person, because of the two Irish people that I've known since I've come here, was a big fan of James Joyce for the same reason that I am. And the other guy was working in the first bar, so his opinion was compromised by working there. But so yeah, that is one thing that makes me feel Irish, you know. And I think it makes me feel Irish because I know a lot of other people do it very badly. There's so many examples of bad Irish pubs that when you see a good one, I think it's worth it a lot. And it's called the James Joyce, and you have pictures of great Irish writers and Spanish writers in there as well, which reflects its tradition as well. And I think, you know, that's what Ireland is, not just the cliche of the land of saints and scholars and great writers, because we do have that, but also a sense of history and place. Because I think, you know, something that's part of the Irish soul and the Irish character is that you might leave your country, but you never leave it. You never really leave it. And
the country never leaves you.
Or the country never leaves you. And even James Joyce himself was that walking contradiction. And he left Ireland because he felt stifled by the Catholicism there and the culture there. But at the same time, you know, he wrote a book called Dubliners, which is a story about his city, and Ulysses as well. I mean, yes, Leopold Bloom is the protagonist, or one of the protagonists, but also the city itself. It's like a homage to the city. It's an ode to the city. But him himself, he could never quite leave Ireland, and he was writing about it from afar. And Dubliners as well, and I know you've read it as well, It's a story that's full of this inherent contradiction of people wanting to leave, but then leaving is not always the right thing to do for those characters, depending on the story. And it's also, you know, so it's not black and white, you know, Ireland is bad and leaving is good.
But that duality is a bit of a leitmotiv, isn't it, for Irish literature in a way?
Well, I think there's always a wistfulness, which is another cliche, you know, like a melancholy about things that are lost or that things that you can't go back to. But the thing is about the again, another irony is that you can go back to them in the mental landscape, and that they do exist. And I think that's the what we live in the world of books and literature. And then, of course, it's something like an Irish bard that can represent something kind of bigger than ourselves. So it's not just a bard; it can be it can represent something, you know. So that's the easiest one to talk about so far about what it means to be Irish. But speaking about Joyce, I think it's funny, really, the things that remind you of being Irish. Because we went to an exhibition, didn't we, on Monday? And what did we see? What was the idea?
Oh well, it was two art movements in Italy, but the first one had a lot of social
commentary.
Yeah,
and there's one painting, wasn't there, of a man walking past a window. A poor guy, and he's looking in at a couple who are well-to-do, having lunch or breakfast or whatever. So there's a real barrier, class barrier, and a physical barrier. You know, two worlds that were living side by side but never came in contact. And that in itself, you know, it's about Italian modernism, about Italian painting, about the socialism of Italian. Kind of art and society, because you had this huge divide like you have in Spain historically between left and right, and communism has had such a strong root in Italy even up to modern times. But even that, you know, which wasn't directly about Ireland or in any way about Ireland, would remind me of James Joyce, because I think there's such a focus on the details that you'd see in the book. You know, I mean, James Joyce describes so many things in great detail, especially food, as a marker of someone's kind of class. And because they're poor, if they're enjoying a good meal, you know, he's really selling how luxurious it was. But also, as well, there's one story in particular where there's a guy who's poor and he just walks around because he's nothing to do, and he's no kind of means or entertainment or whatever, you know. So like little things, I guess it represents or reflects the fact that it's always on my mind or it's there in the subconscious, you know. So I can link things very easily to a sense of Irishness, even though it's not directly representing that. But you know, all culture, I think, can be connected. It's a loop, everything is a loop, especially when it comes to art or culture, you know. Even if things are not directly influenced by each other, I think humans have a very common conception, or schools build up in different countries around the same time, reflecting the same things that may be influenced by each other, but often are generated by the steam of the people in those countries, kind of independently of the other movements as well. So I think, you know, there's very often things happen generally and in common. So while, you know, there's no direct link between Joyce and this Italian art, for example, of course you can see kind of common themes and things that connect. To me, at least, in a subjective way.
Yeah, well, at the end of the day, places are about perception, aren't they? About the perceptions we have of them.
Yeah, which is true. I mean, any writer would know that as well. I mean, Patrick Kavanagh is a great Irish poet that I would quite like. I'm a big fan of his, and one of his poems is about being remembered, and, like, you know, put me next to the river in Dublin, next to the Liffey. Now there's a statue of him there as well, and I think you know, because we've discussed Pablo Neruda quite a lot as well, and he was obsessed with cataloging things and describing things and giving a voice to inanimate things and kind of giving breath to things and that in that way is to keep things is to keep them alive through recognizing them and
making sense of them.
Yeah, making sense of them, and in that way things are extended and their life is almost infinite, maybe, or it doesn't run out. So, you know, it's an interesting concept how we kind of can link a place to an emotion. But of course, we all do this. It's a very human thing that we do. But there's another. I mean, but then there's bizarre things I don't quite understand. You know, there's a street. It's when I'm getting the bus from my barrio, my neighborhood, to and it goes down past Mount Cloa onto Calle Princesa, and just the way the bus moves, and then the view I get of the street once it turns the corner, it reminds me so much of Cork, and I don't know why. It's just a weird connection that I have in my brain, and I really can't explain it, you know. But it's just every time I'm on that bus, without fail, every time, I'm not even expecting it, I forget that there's this association I have on this route, but then it happens. And I get reminded again, and I get transported to another place, you know, which is funny because I think we all have inner worlds, but then this inner world becomes our outer world for a moment, and that's a kind of interesting experience to feel, one that we're quite lucky to feel as well, I think.
Well, that was a wonderful description, Ena, as usual. So thank you so much for showing us your island.
Bagaran Bajes is such a cha cha cha. Toradorala. Sorry.
Okay, now nobody understands anymore.
Okay.
Okay, well, thank you so much. And
well, before we finish this, yes. You know, there's so much more to say about the Irish in Spain. There's a fantastic history here. So, you know, I'm sure we'll cover it in more podcasts in the future, you know. But I mean, we haven't even scratched the surface, really.
Oh, we haven't, but.
Probably because of the poor interviewing technique, but
well, I mean, today we just wanted to hear about your island, so we'll leave the rest of Ireland for some other day.
Okay, well, here it goes. Oh, Danny. Okay, well, I'll stop there.
I'm singing as well. We'll leave it for another day as well.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, listener, and well, yeah, we'll give a small goodbye after this musical break. Welcome back to the final part of this edition of the Elaborate Podcast. If you've just joined us, shame on you. And also, just to bring you up to speed, we've been talking about my version of Ireland, living in Spain. I've been here for 4 years, and this day, of course, is the great magical day of St. Patrick's Day. So, well, I'm all spoken out. I have nothing else to say.
I know. Well, so, very Irish.
So, what are we going to do next week?
Okay, well, this is a surprise. We have a couple of things and in store, and we have to decide which one. So
exactly. Well, also as well, we're going to be increasing our video output. We just had a meeting this morning with an NGO that works with old people, so we're going to be doing a promotion for them. Of course, check out our promotion of the Barcelona market that we have on our YouTube page. And so
keep
also
an eye on the virtual room, because there'll be things coming up
more,
there as well.
More exhibitions, and also we filmed a group called Forasteros in the local park here at Tiro. And they were kind enough to do two songs for us, and that will be going up on our website over the next couple of days.
So lots of things to keep you entertained.
Lots of things to keep you entertained. We've disabled comments on all our videos because we don't trust you. But other than that, though, thank you for following us, and until next time.
Yeah, see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Subsound Radio. We bring you streaming and live broadcasting from the capital. This is the El Arpa Podcast.